a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The coronavirus. Search for the cure. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Well, we've been talking a lot about vaccines for COVID-19 over the last 2 weeks, and a lot more today as we learn that Pfizer's trials show that its vaccine is now 95% effective, which matches Moderna's effectiveness. Dave, one question that I think we really want and need to have answered is, how will this rollout look in Utah?
Yeah, if we get, say, a million doses of the vaccine, is everybody going to get inoculated at once? You know, the people that qualify or the first responders, however they divide it up, is everyone just going to line up and say, all right, today is the day? What are those lines going to look like?
Let's get Rich Lakin on the line. He's the director, Utah Immunizations Director. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm driving.
We can hear you just fine. We know you were with us last week on the line. Really appreciated you giving us the information you shared with us last week. This week, a lot of new, very hopeful news regarding these vaccines. Have we received any of the shipments yet in Utah?
No, we haven't received any of the shipments yet. We're still waiting to hear about the, like I mentioned last week, about the ultra cold going to those five hospitals that can store it, and then waiting for the all the approval process, and then they can start vaccinating in hopefully first or second week of December.
So once you do receive those, what are the inoculations going to look like?
Well, so the early stages will be those five hospitals that see the most COVID burden. However, now we're trying to onboard as many hospitals as we can. We got 30 more that we're working on this week, and then we hope to add more in the following weeks, because now not only those five hospitals, but there's additional hospitals that are seeing large burdens. And so the first or second week of December, those five hospitals will be, hopefully, if everything goes well, they'll be able to start vaccination. And then shortly after that, we'll be able to ship some vaccine out to the rest of the hospital so they can start working on vaccinating their healthcare workers.
Rich Lakin is Utah's director of immunizations, having a very important conversation with him this morning about how this we're going to roll out the vaccines as they arrive in Utah. Will we be getting a shipment of Moderna's and Pfizer's at the same time now that Moderna is also seeking FDA emergency approval, Rich?
So it's my understanding that Moderna is probably still about 2 to 3 weeks behind the Pfizer vaccine. Of course, that's the best guess. Even my discussions with CDC, we haven't been able to really kind of nail down when the vaccine is really going to be delivered. We just kind of have that general timeline. So if Pfizer receives the vaccine, or if we receive the vaccine from Pfizer in that second week of December, that means that Moderna could probably be late December, or perhaps it may be even early January.
Does it matter which one you get?
Well, you know, it looks like the efficacy of both of them are 95%, which is great. I mean, you know, and then, you know, everybody can feel comfortable that they're receiving a vaccine that has a really good efficacy. And then we'll just kind of, at that point, we've got two different vaccine products, and then we have some logistics that we have to work out to try to get the Pfizer vaccine out, and then also the Moderna vaccine out to everybody that can receive it.
So I'm envisioning long lines at the pharmacy. I hate to go down that road, but how, I mean, for example, and I'm sure a lot of people, you know, have the same experience when they go to the pharmacy. I got to walk all the way through the Walgreens, which isn't that large, to get to the pharmacy. Is there going to be tents set up where we drive through? Is the National Guard going to help with distribution? How do you envision this happening, Rich? Can you paint us a picture?
Yeah, so we're actually going to roll this out in phases. So we're going to have healthcare workers, long-term care facilities, staff and residents, first responders, kind of in a phase one approach. So we're going to take care of all of that, those occupations and people kind of during phase one. Phase two, then we start adding other essential worker populations, which we're calculating to our risk model. And then we're taking that risk model and we are taking it through a group of professionals that will help us decide who should receive the vaccine in this next phase. You know, that could be other facilities, that could be teachers, that could be other professions that, you know, would be a priority to receive the vaccine. And then, and that's a large group. So phase two is a large group of people. Again, the vaccine is going to drive the response. So we've got to be careful about how many we feel like we can vaccinate and based on how much vaccine we receive. Then we're going to move into phase three and we're going to finish up the rest of those populations and occupations and et cetera. And then we're going to get to the general public to receive the vaccine. So in regards to long lines, I'm not sure what that's going to look like. By the time we reach the public, we're going to have pharmacies, we're going to have private physicians, we're going to have clinics, we're going to have local health departments, community health centers. Everybody will be taking a role to ensure that we can get to the general public as fast and efficiently as we can.
Do we even have a ballpark number of how many vaccines we'll receive?
Well, I've been told anywhere. Okay, so let me back up. So Utahns make up about 1% of the total population of the United States. So that means that we will receive 1% of what the vaccine is because they're gonna base it on population. So if we got 10 million doses, that looks like that we could possibly receive 100,000 doses in the first wave or in the first phase come that December. But again, I don't know exactly how much we're going to receive, but that's at least a general ballpark.
And 100,000 doses, just to clarify, would vaccinate approximately 50,000 people, Rich?
Yeah, so if we have 100,000, then depending on when the second shipment comes is dependent on how much of that first vaccine we can use because we've got the second dose that we've got to use. So if there's 100,000 coming, and we know that we are committed to another 100,000 or maybe 200,000 at that point, we can start vaccinating 100,000 because we know we can meet the second dose, and then we can start working on other populations with the first dose. So there's a lot of juggling in that first and second dose and how much vaccine we're going to receive in the second, third, fourth go-around to ensure that we meet not only the second dose, but we also make sure that we are meeting the first dose requirements of those occupations and professionals as we move through the plan.
Rich, as you were speaking, my heart leapt. That was so exciting. That was the most exciting thing we'll hear on the show all morning long. Thank you so much for joining us, Rich Lakin, the Utah's immunization director, just broke this huge news, Debbie, huge news. That they anticipate. Now, this isn't set in stone, but they anticipate as many as 100,000 doses to come into Utah. Holy smokes!
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.